Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this week's episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, of course, in association with Free Super Tips. And we're here, Racing Post HQ in the studio, and I say we, Steve Palmer. Steve, in the presence, it's lovely to see you in the flesh,
Dave.
Mate. It's been a while.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, it feels very strange. We can touch each other if we so wish. We have fancy
Please
backgrounds.
Don't.
No, we're not sure what we're doing, but hopefully we can produce this. I've been in London a long time. I'm flagging a little bit. Came to London on Sunday, and I've been sort of seeing a few of the sights. And I think I'm equipped to handle this. Yeah,
you're a bit jaded, my
I'm
man.
A bit jaded. I'm a bit jaded.
Sports Henry... Desk Christmas party last night.
Yes, Sports Desk Christmas party. And as I say, Henry Hardwick has been my host. Do you know Henry Hardwick?
Unfortunately, I do, yeah.
Bit of a character. And on Sunday, he was guiding me around Baker Street. I was quite excited to go to Baker Street, yep. Sherlock Holmes territory. So I watched the Manchester Derby in Baker Street. And then he took me to Paddington Railway Club. I don't know whether any viewers have been to Paddington Railway Club. I think it's like an elite... Yeah, I don't think anyone can get in it. So I was granted access to Paddington Railway Club.
By appointment only.
By appointment only. And Raymond van Barneveld... uses that as his practice base when he's in London. So I was quite excited to see Rainbow and Barber, but he wasn't in attendance. I guess he's got a world championship to think about.
Well, we'll talk about all that. You sure. Clearly got the Christmas jumper memo. I did not.
Yes, brought out the old classic. Yeah,
but that's okay. Before we start, I've got you a present.
Have you really?
Yeah,
oh, blimey. He's throwing stuff.
So before we
now.
Kick off...
Well, I feel bad because I haven't got
kind
you anything.
I know you're quite an emotional chap.
Yeah.
So however the tips are going, we've got an emoji for every golf ball. There we go. Not too many of these ones in terms of the tips, but there you go.
So oh, Dave, honestly, you're genuinely very touched.
The box got a little bit busted in transit on the way. But
no, that's the best present I've ever received.
I'm not sure
received.
How they'll play, but...
Well, yeah, Tommy Tiger will love them, wouldn't he?
There you go.
Yeah, that's quite lewd, isn't it, that one? But should we pop that there? Yeah, thanks, Dave. I haven't got you anything.
Well, I didn't think you would.
Maybe you can have this jumper. I'll get another one. But,
Right, what have we got coming up then? Well, there's two tournaments to look back on.
Yes.
And then, of course, one to preview. We've got the Mauritius Open, which Steve is going to get stuck into. And then we'll have a little bit of chat. Highlights of the year. Obviously, it's been a couple of good winners along the way for Steve, which we'll reminisce on, of course. But the year of the chef and all of that. A little bit of darts chat. And, of course, Steve's fantastic... mystery tour around London as well, which we'll get on to. Right, we'll start then. Last week, Alfred Dunhill Championship, Sean Norris, 50-1. What happened?
Well, it was a bogey-free back nine from Sean Norris, and he had won on the Japan Tour a couple of weeks previous.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a prolific winner on the Japan Tour, and he's won twice on the DP World Tour. But it was a crazy tournament. I mean, there were so many players in with a chance. Ryan van Velzen will be kicking himself. He made a six at the last to lose by a shot. Marcus Kinholt, of course, was in charge of the tournament going into the final round. Shot 74 on Sunday. Angel Ayora, we've been discussing him a lot on our podcast, haven't we? He looks a hell of a good player, but had a really flat back nine. Didn't make a birdie on the back nine on Sunday and blew his chance. And then Casey Jarvis. I mean, I could devote half an hour talking about Casey Jarvis last week. It was an incredible roller coaster following him. He played so well. He made so many birdies and a couple of eagles, but he had some disaster rolls, Dave. We will talk about Casey Jarvis in our Mauritius Open preview, which we'll get to because he is one of our tips. He's our number one tip, actually. Casey Jarvis had a quadruple bogey, a triple bogey, and a double bogey, and only lost the tournament by four shots. So, yeah, it took a year off my life following Casey Jarvis last week, I tell you. We'll come to him again later.
But... an enjoyable tournament away from the golf, just taking the wildlife.
Yeah, that's it. It's nice to see there's still some giraffes, some rhinos and that.
In the world, yeah. Still.
Well, you worry about the hunters getting them, don't you? There's too many crazy people out there, you know, getting the tusks of the elephant and the tusks of the rhino. They think they've got some special properties, haven't they? You know all about that?
Valuable,
but they think they do things that they don't. I think there's some misinformation out there about these tusks. We're not here to talk about rhino tusks, I don't think.
Any other takeaways?
Well, a lot of the players from that tournament
are
playing in the Mauritius Open. Your Louis Oosterhuizens and whatnot have not turned up. It's quite a weak Mauritius Open, but there's some great betting opportunities for us, and I'm quite excited. But no takeaways. I mean, that was a tournament that no one seemed to want to win. Yeah, there was a lot of lot of fragile play down the stretch there. And as I say, Casey Jarvis finished tied 11th. I was on 12 places. I always try and encourage people to get as many places as they can on the big price. So I got 50 to 1, 12 places. And going up the last, though, he's in 7th place. And then he made another 6 on the last. He made so many gut-busting blunders, but tied 11th with 3 other players in the end.
Right, let's move on then to the Grant Thornton Invitational. A near miss for you here, Steve. 2nd.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, this was a really tough watch because I was in the aforementioned Paddington Railway Club watching it on the smartphone. You had the Chelsea game on in the background on some stream, and then so I had a bit of Chelsea, bit of Grant Thornton, and yeah, just absolute heartbreaker because our tip of Gino Titicol and Tom Kim, lost by a shot. To cut a long story short, they lost by a shot. Tom Kim played well. Gino Titicol, I felt she let the side down a little bit. She wasn't at her absolute best. Do you remember she went to Disney World after winning that CME Group Tour Championship? So maybe she overdid it at Disney World. She hit a few uncharacteristically bad shots, but they finished 26 under par, and then we were beaten by the very unfancy duo, Dave.
Yeah, they were a big price, weren't they?
Yeah, they were 40 to 1. They were 40 to 1. There was only one team in that tournament that was priced bigger than them pre-tournament. So Patty Tavatanakit and Jake Knapp. And Patty Tavatanakit's putter was like a magic wand last week, Dave. I mean, it was so frustrating watching that. I mean, fortunately, the Paddington Railway Club, there was a lot of people swearing in there. Swearing was allowed in there.
You followed suit?
I followed suit because Patty Tavatanakit ruined my Sunday night, really. I mean, I could have got off to an absolute fly. Like, I've touched down in London. I'm enjoying the London vibe. And I thought if I could get those over the line, if I had a winner as soon as I touched down in London, I would have been absolutely buzzing. But Patty Tavatanakit's putter. I mean, you can't legislate for things like that.
Do you think that came up in the debrief, the team debrief, that Titicol, he probably might have overdone it at Disneyland, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Tom Kim...
Is it possible to overdo it at Disneyland?
Well, I don't know. Tom Kim definitely sort of carried her at times, but he was very diplomatic in the interviews. They had a lovely bond. I mean, it was quite enjoyable watching they were smiling as we anticipated. They had a lot of fun out there. But
it didn't feel like a serious tournament, not to degrade it in any way.
No,
but it wasn't life or death, was it?
No, it was fun and games. Yeah, I think Gino was not taking it as seriously as I'd hope. But I think we were on the right team because you just can't legislate for Patty Tavatanakit's putter suddenly turning into a magic wand, though.
I'm waiting for you to stumble on the pronunciation of the name.
It's a tough one.
Flawless as ever. Flawless as ever. Right, before we get stuck into the Mauritius Open, you have been in London, you've been on your travels. Just enlighten us on Steve Palmer's experience of London, recent experience. What is London like in 2024?
Well, London's always a challenge for me. You know, I'm a simple country boy. I like being by the sea. Whenever you take me away from the seaside, I get a little bit anxious. I was a bit nervous when I came to London, and then Henry Harwick's probably not the best host to have because he comes up with all sorts of harebrained schemes. And yesterday morning, I did not believe him. He said, we're cycling from his house to the office. So I worked in the office yesterday. He said, we're going to cycle. And I said, you're obviously joking. And then out we go. And he hires these bikes.
I've seen photographic evidence. We'll try and put it on the screen.
I think Boris Johnson came up with this idea a few years ago.
Yeah, the Boris bikes, yeah.
What are they called?
Boris bikes.
Oh, the Boris bikes. They're called the Boris bikes, yeah. So we get on this Boris bike. And I nearly crashed it instantly because I didn't realise it had a turbocharger in it. So I get on it and I go, poof. And then some lady shouted at me from across the road telling me I still had the thing that you stand on, the stand. I hadn't put that up. She was going, you've got to get your stand down. I was off to a terrible stand.
How old was she? Was it definitely a woman?
It was Pat Butcher. It was Pat... So I was off to a terrible start. And I all joking aside, I thought it was a bit dangerous, really. I mean... Because I wasn't in the best of condition and I was charging around. But once I settled into it, it was a godsend having that power under the... Have you had a go on one of them?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, see, the electric power just goes in, so you don't have to pedal that hard. So that was an incredible experience until my shoelace got stuck in... It got stuck in the chain, you know.
Yeah.
Which was a disaster because I treated myself to a brand new pair of shoes. You want to see them?
Nice.
They're very white. For this trip.
We believe you, Steve.
And then, well, look, there's the oil on the So they, and then Henry had to come back to rescue me. I couldn't get out. I was trapped in the chain. And there was a big crowd gathering, wondering what was happening. And well, yeah, it's a long story. So it's been an interesting trip, but we got
the quiz. There was a quiz last night.
Oh, there was a quiz. Yeah, there was a quiz.
How did you get on? Sports Desk quiz.
Yeah, the Sports Desk Christmas party in the olden days wouldn't have had this sort of newfangled quizzing business. But so we had the old-fashioned pub to start with. Then the quiz thing was in the middle, and then the pub afterwards. So the quiz thing I found quite challenging. It was some sort of boxing quiz thing where you answer all sorts of questions. There was smoke going everywhere. Yeah, I didn't settle in that arena. It's not my cup of tea, though. I think we came fourth, my team. I was in a team with Henry and Adam Scriven, and we came fourth.
I'm sure viewers will be familiar with some of the names. Who are the winners?
Yeah, James Milton and Liam Flynn were the winners, both privately educated.
That's the difference.
Showed the benefit of a private school education. If there's any viewers out there thinking of sending their kids to a private school, then
that's the endorsement.
The quiz provided good evidence that it does work.
Right. Shall we get stuck into some golf? We've got one tournament to preview.
This is what we're here
for. Then, exactly, and then we'll get Steve's view. I know you've got some strong views on the Arrows, right?
Oh, the Arrows, yeah. I mean, this is the time of the year. I should be looking at a different camera, shouldn't I? I keep looking at that one and I'm not, is it that one? It might be that one, there it is. Yeah, this is the time of the year. Hi, viewers, hi, guys. Steve Palmer here. This is the time of the year where we morph from golf to darts, don't we? We're not there yet because we've got a very late Mauritius Open before Christmas. I mean, it finishes, 2 days before Christmas? It's mental, isn't it? But then we've got dart season for a couple of weeks. I am excited about the Arrows.
Right, let's do the Mauritius Open then. I think there's one player in the top 200 ranked in the world in this event. Very weak field. He is the favourite, of course.
Yeah. Right,
where are we off to then, Steve? It's the Mauritius Open, a French-speaking island.
Yes.
Talk to us about the track.
Yes, it's Mont-Choisy-le-Golf. 7,051 yards, so a very short course, par 72, 5 par 5s, Dave, 5 par 3s. It's only hosted the Mauritius Open once before in 2022, we've got a short resort course. It's a piece of cake for professionals, really. Generous fairways, no trees, two drivable par 4s, I must mention. So you've got 5 par 5s, 2 drivable par 4s, a little stat for you, like a stat, 3 of the 7 Mauritius Opens that we've had so far have been won by a South African, so obviously very comfortable in the conditions. 4 of my 5 tips, Dave, are South African, so hopefully that trend continues.
You mentioned the par 5s, there's drivable par 4s as well. Are we looking for a bit of length off the tee here?
Yeah, very handy, I think you need good drivers, and there's a chance to do a crazy scorecard full of Eagle 2s and Eagle 3s. I mean, similar to Casey Jarvis last week, just without the horror stories. Yeah.
Right, let's do some prices then. Right, Antoine Rosner is the jolly, 17-2. Angel Ayora is 16s. John Parry, 22s. Richard Mansell, 25s. Jaden Shaper, 28s. 30s bar, price guide, roundabout, shop around, particularly for your each way terms, as Steve mentioned there. How many in the team?
We've got 5 in the team, Dave. Some enormous prices in
there. Very reserved. I was expecting a...
Are you expecting a... What were you expecting?
I don't know. But you could usually take my head off through the laptop at home when we get how many are in the team. 5.
That's it.
It's just 5 this
five.
Week.
5.
Very sensible 5. Okay, thank you. Right, so we're not with the jolly. We're not with the jolly. Right, we know that much already. So who are we with? Who's the main pick this week?
I can see it makes you feel very uneasy when I touch you, Dave. So I'm going to obviously do that a lot more during this broadcast. The number one selection, Casey Jarvis. Casey Jarvis, who was, I'd say almost won for us last week. I mean, it seems a crazy thing to say when he's tied 11th, but he lost by 4 shots and he had 3 absolute disaster holes, a quadruple bogey, a triple bogey, a double bogey. He played so well on the vast majority of holes, bursting with talent at the age of 21. I've been following him for a long time. I mentioned I was on him when he was a teenager, and he had these brilliant starts to this sort of tournament, co-sanctioned events in South Africa. Like he's been starting well, finishing poorly, but he's 21 now. I think he's ready for that maiden win. And he's played this course before. He was 40th in the Mauritius Open in 2022, when the only previous one we've had at Mont-Choisy. He was 776th in the world rankings, Dave, going into that event, and he was 5th after 2 rounds. That's another example of these fast starts he was making, and then obviously got a little bit edgy over the weekend, dropped down to 40th, but At 21, crucially now, he's got a DP World Tour card, Dave. You know, Casey Jarvis hasn't got to worry about getting a DP World Tour card like he did back in 2022 Mauritius Open. He's got it, and he's playing superbly. Two eagles, 23 birdies last week, Dave. And the winning score was 13 under par. I mean, it's just, it's mental, isn't it?
He's a scorer.
He's a scorer, and this course suits him. It's there to be attacked with aggressive golf. He's as aggressive as they come. I wish he hadn't been so aggressive on some of the, that par three on Friday, where he made a triple bogey on the par three on Friday when he was just taking charge of the golf tournament and you know, got too attacking, you know, went in the water hazard next to the green. But hopefully learnt lessons from then, from last week. He's won on the Challenge Tour, Dave. He's going to win on the DP World Tour this week.
Right, can we be greedy and maybe get him first round leader as well? You like that kind of play?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah. I checked the tee times. I mean, I've only just arrived in the office and I haven't had a chance to check the tee times. We've been in a bit of a rush today, haven't it, Dave? But I'll check the tee times, see if he's got a decent tee time. Yeah, we can get first round leader as well, Dave. Don't you worry about that. Yeah, we get everything.
Right, we like that. We're going for the full lot. Okay, right, so Casey Jarvis is the main selection. Who's the next best?
Christo Lamprecht. 60-1, I believe. 60-1 Christo Lamprecht, who's also got the tools to destroy this track. We're talking about one of the longest drivers in the world here, Dave. Christo Lamprecht. Google him if you want a piece of the action. He's an absolute slugger. The five par fives, the two drivable par fours. This is a former world number one amateur. Nice to talk
you
about
like
one
that,
of them
yeah.
in the French.
You love that.
Yeah, former world number one amateur. 6'8". A big boy, Dave. He's a big boy. He won the amateur championship last year. He was low amateur in the Open last year. He finished fifth in a Korn Ferry Tour event in July this year. And he finished, this is the one that will get you excited. He finished 23rd in a PGA Tour event a month ago. All right,
this is in good nick.
A youngster, an improving youngster. That was in the Bermuda Championship, Dave. So, you know, he's going to another tropical location this week. He closed with rounds of 67, 66, 69 in that Bermuda Championship. So he fell in love with Bermuda. I can see him falling in love with Mauritius this week.
Open the shoulders and all that.
Open the shoulders in Mauritius. There's nothing quite like it. I've been to Mauritius during the glorious 2018. It's a lovely place. Celebrating my 40th birthday in Mauritius, I believe. That was my 40th. But it's a lovely place, Dave. I strongly recommend it. Have your bet on Christo Lamprecht and maybe he can finance your trip to Mauritius.
Right, he's a big price. Who else we got in the team?
Kieran Vincent! I love shouting at you from short range. Kieran Vincent, 45-1, I believe, Dave. You're in charge of the prices today. A Zimbabwean.
Yeah, correct.
The only non-South African in my team, but he's a Zimbabwean. I've got five Africans in my team. We're in Africa this week. They're comfortable in African conditions. This was a LIV player this year. Kieran Vincent was a LIV player. Which means he's absolutely loaded, it's the swagger that you talk about.
What I love it, the big check swagger.
The big check swagger. Kieran Vincent is not worried about the prize money this week, he just wants the trophy. There's a confidence that comes with having a few quid. He was a member of Legion 13 this year, you see, Dave. So his teammates were John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton. He's been feeding off that, been banking huge checks every week from the team events. And he's lost his status now. So he's lost his LIV status this year. He played all right in the LIV promotions event the other day. There's only one place up for grabs in there. That's so hard to get your card back. So he's not a LIV player anymore, but he is still, you know, he's got a fine bank balance. And I think he'll come to an event like this with a fair amount of confidence. And he's won on the Sunshine Tour and he's won on the Asian Tour. So he's got playing opportunities there. It was a four-shot win on the Sunshine Tour in May. And he's played really well on the Asian Tour this year, Dave. He was fourth in the Indonesian Masters last month, ninth in a high-class Saudi International. Do you remember we were talking about the Saudi International? We were talking about Jaden Shaver last week. But yeah. He was ninth in that. That was the week before last, so good recent form. His Asian Tour form figures, Dave, in full, 4.18.99 for his last minute. So he's coming to this in good nick. He's another big hitter, another lusty hitter. I think Montchoisi would be ideal for him. He's got great hair, Dave.
He's a winner.
He's certainly a winner in the hairdressers. You check him out. He looks like a lion.
Oh, I love it. I love the locks.
I'm threatening to touch you again there. He looks like a lion. He's got lovely long locks.
Listen, I'm reading your notes. Do you do prescriptions as well? I know you're struggling to read that. But there you go. It's all upstairs anyway.
It's all upstairs.
Right, so that's three down. Do the prices get bigger?
Yeah, we got the big ones now.
Here we go. Right, what else we got?
It'd be so exciting if one of these next two wins and we finish the year in style. And this is a 200-1 chance, I believe. Maybe bigger out there. You're in charge of the prices. Martin Voster. Sorry, did I spit at you there, Kete?
300
Martin
in a place.
Voster. 300 in a place. Martin Voster. Really promising youngster. Been following him for a long time. In the 2019 Junior World Cup of Golf, Martin Voster was part of a winning South African team. Casey Jarvis was in that team. Christo Lamprecht was in that team. So Voster, Lamprecht and Jarvis have grown up together. He's 22 years of age now, Voster. These are three of the most promising golfers in South Africa. Voster was ranked number one in South Africa, number one amateur in South Africa for a spell. He made his Mauritius Open debut in 2022 at Montchoisi. He was 1,255 in the world at that time. So 58th place was a decent effort. Made the cut, banked a check, young age, inexperience. So I've been waiting for Voster's career to take off. Recently, the signs are encouraging. Four top tens in his last eight events, Dave. He looks ready to win on the Sunshine Tour. He hasn't done yet, but he looks ready to win on the Sunshine Tour. Maybe he can get a life-changing DP World Tour win this week. We saw it can happen. Elvis Smiley did it the other day, didn't he? So it would transform Forster's life and career to do it. But at that price, it's worth taking, isn't it? Get as many each-way places as you can. Like I talked about, at these big prices, you can get 12 each-way places if you shop around. Like last week, Jarvis actually did place for me because he tied 11th because I did 12. Get as many as you can. Look around. There's a whole world out there, guys.
So it's as big as 300s, but you'll be quite happy to swallow a few points to get the bigger places.
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely, Dave. Yeah, that's what I did last week with Jarvis, who was available at bigger prices elsewhere, but 50-1, 12 places with the package I went to. Yeah, I would urge people punters to do that. And you can back him to get a top 20 as well. I won't put you under pressure to fiddle with your device there.
Because, no, that's not happening. Yeah. But those markets are out there. Those markets are out there.
Dave will fiddle with his device later, and we'll find out the top 20 price. Because back in for a top 20, it'd be a nice juicy price.
Right, one more in the team. That's four down. Dare I say it, it's an even bigger price.
You dare? Here
we go. This is Christmas time.
You
what you got twins. For us?
Herman Loopsa. Herman Loopsa. 400-1 and bigger. I think it's easy to back at 400-1. You're in charge of the prices.
500 out there.
500 out there. Herman Loopsa. He's a 25-year-old now. He's another South African youngster I've been following for a while. Been keeping my eye on him ever since he won the Sunshine Tour Q School in 2017. He won that in fine style. Big things were expected of Herman Loopsa. It's taken him a few years to settle as a professional. He made his Sunshine Tour breakthrough in May 2022. So he's a winner on the Sunshine Tour. He hasn't won since, but the last 2.5 months, really encouraging for Herman Loopsa fans. Form figures on the Sunshine Tour of 30, 12, 8, 26, 27, 27, 28. So playing solid golf on the Sunshine Tour. We know he's got ability. He's coming of age, I think, Dave. 28th last week in the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Only two players outscored Herman Loopsa in round two. He shot a bogey-free 66 in round two last week. I think that shows what we're dealing with here, Dave. This is an improving youngster, and I'm very excited by the price. This is the sort of tournament that can be won by a big outsider like that.
Right, he is 12-1 to be in the top 20.
Oh, well done. Good fiddling. I wonder what you were doing there.
Yeah, I was trying to... The markets are out there. Bookmakers... I mean, this is the only golf tournament this week, so there'll be all sorts of specials around, Steve. Right, that is the team of five. Let's talk about the market leader, if you like, or the market leaders. Antoine Rosner, as I mentioned, I think he's the only player ranked in the top 200 in the world taking part. He's top price, I think 17-2, but he's not for you.
He's the world number 144, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, it's just the price is just no good. I mean, he won this tournament in 2022, Dave, the last Mauritius Open we've had at Montchoisi. Rosner won that. He's obviously been playing well recently in high-class events, better events than this. He contended in the DP World Tour Championship. Obviously, he has to be favourite, but he's not a man I trust. I don't trust Antoine Rosner because he gets edgy very easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I I don't criticise a man for getting edgy. I was a bit edgy when I came in here with a hangover into a studio situation. We all get edgy occasionally, but Antoine Rosner gets edgy in contention. Even in this low grade, I think he'll get edgy. So, and his putter can go very cold. I don't think he can play it. What's the best price, Antoine? I don't think he can play it single figures, guys.
17-2, yeah.
I don't think it's wise. It's just not good value. I'd love to have a conversation with a man who thinks that is good value. Or
anyone near the top of the market that you like at all, Steve? Or was you just, you got Richard Mansell's up there, John Parry?
Well, they found Angel Ayora, and yeah. You know I'm a fan of Angel Ayora.
Second in at 16s, yeah.
Yeah, they've gone really short on him this week. And again, like at that price, I can't play. Because he had his opportunity last week, got in contention against a load of players that, you know, it would be better class than in the years to come. And he couldn't hack it, could he? You know, he went birdie three on that back nine, messed up the last hole. So I think that's not factored into that price. Yeah, he will have some scars from Sunday, will Angel Ayora. So, no, I quickly look past that price, even though I really rate him. Can't be playing John Parry at short prices. Richard Mansell never wins. Jaden Schaper really disappointing for us last week, wasn't he? So, I'm happy with my lot. I'm happy with my lot, Dave.
Big price Africans. That's what we like. We're going for it in the Mauritius Open. Right, we'll get up into a roundup of Steve's tips. But before we get into the darts, highlights of the year
gone by.
I'm going to throw one to you straight away, which away from what's actually happening on the tour. Personally, I'm going to give you one name, and that name is Nick Dunlap.
Yeah, Nick Dunlap. Yeah, that was a lovely one, wasn't it?
Winning the
Barracuda in the early hours of the morning there after a long day of Sweet Spot Live. So it's the Open Championship final round. We had that. And then Nick Dunlap was the bonus in the evening to bring the double home. Yeah, I'd say it's very hard not to see that as the highlight of the year. I mean, Darius Van Driel. We mustn't forget Darius Van Driel. That was early on in the year. Because these things, you know, you build momentum, don't you? You build momentum. Darius Van Driel winning the Kenya Open in March, I think it was. That got us going. And then we had a fantastic summer of love, didn't we? Winners are plenty in the summer. And then, it's the big tournaments day that I'm so happy with. You know,
we
tipped the winner of the Masters, we tipped the winner of the Open Championship. Yeah, the two biggest tournaments of the year, we're on the winner. We're on the winner of the Players' Championship. Yeah, I like it when we tip the winners of the big ones. So I think we can be happy. I think we can be happy with how it went, Dave. And hopefully, we'll go from strength to strength.
In general then, golf, year of the chef once again. Xander Schauffele, not one, but any other year, and he might have been sort of touted as the player of the year.
Absolutely, yeah. There was a time this year where it was a debate on who was having the better year, and then Scheffler just finished with aplomb, didn't he? Scheffler, the player of the year, and he's going to go off really short next year. I think we're going to see some really short Scheffler prices. And it's up to us whether we've got the bravery to get involved with them.
I think the start of next year we'll go for some sort of ACCA, because I know you've probably not yet.
No, we're not ready for that yet, but we will come to that.
People will be asking for that.
People will be asking, and they've got every right to ask. But we've actually got a show on New Year's Eve, I believe, haven't we?
Yes.
Have you signed up for that?
I think I'll be taking part in that show,
good,
yes.
Good man. Maybe I'll bring
from
you...
the safety of my home. Out of touching distance.
Thank you. So we'll talk about the majors then, because the Century, the Tournament of Champions, is it starting January the 2nd or something crazy? Yeah, it's really, really...
Early start.
It's difficult. We're not getting much time off this time, Dave, because the Mauritius Open finishes 2 days before Christmas, I think, and then the new PGA Tour season starts like... January the 2nd, is it?
We're going to expect a decent field in that.
Yeah. You normally get a good field in that. I think Scheffler's committed to that, isn't he? So I think Scheffler's playing in that. We haven't got much time to rest. And in the rest period that we get, which is a very brief 2 weeks, we're going to be high octane darts. You know, darts and
yes, we'll get to the darts. One more thing I wanted to ask you: 2024 gone, McIlroy. Assess the year for McIlroy.
Well, most people will be content with achieving what he's achieved this year. But, you know, we set the bar high, don't we? I mean, you know, as soon as he won those four majors really quickly, we expect big things from McIlroy. So I think it's every year he doesn't win a major is a disappointing year, isn't it? he tries not to admit that. He was crying when he won the Race to Dubai title. Because these things need to matter to him, you know what I mean? It's you know, his sports psychologist must be telling him, look, you've won the Race to Dubai, you know, it's a big win, you know, be happy.
But well, his bank manager should be telling that as well.
Yeah, he doesn't want for money, does he? But yeah, I think he needs to win a major. Or every year you don't win a major is a failure. It's harsh, isn't it? It's harsh. Sorry, Roy.
Okay, right. Let's talk darts then before we round up the tips this week. We had two days of action so far, time of recording this. What have you made of it, and who are you with? I know you're very strong in terms of outright. Who'd you like?
I like Luke Littler. I hate to be boring, but I back two players coming into this tournament. Luke Littler's the one I've had my most significant investment in. I don't think anyone can touch him. The averages he's been producing over the last few weeks are astonishing. Even on the Instagram, did you see he was practicing? He was playing a fan on, is it Instagram? I might have got that wrong. My friend texted me that he got an 118 average playing just on the internet the other day. His averages are staggering. Obviously, he was making his debut last year, still managed to get to the final. This year, obviously, he's got a bit more weight of expectation, but I think he can handle it. He's just like a robot, isn't he? So, I think Littler will win the championship, and I think he will beat Wessel Niemann in the final, Dave. Yeah, Wessel Niemann is
you like the draw?
I think from that half of the draw, Wessel Niemann's the one I can rely on. A player I think would have perhaps already won the World Championship had he not had some issues early in his career. He had a few misdemeanors he got in trouble with. He got banned for 2.5 years from the circuit, so that sort of stunted his development a bit. But now you see some of the numbers he's producing on the Pro Tour. Exceptional player, the Stork. His nickname is the Stork. Not the best nickname in the world, but because he's shaped like a stork.
Right. Okay.
So I think Wessel Niemann will get the final. So get your each way bets on Wessel Niemann.
No love for Humphreys.
Humphreys, I was impressed with how he handled that first round match. He came out with a bit of fire, didn't he, a couple of days ago. I think Humphreys will probably get to the semi-final, but there was more banana skins for Humphreys, you see. In his quarter, I saw lots of banana skins. Yeah, you Jermaine Wataminas, he's a banana skin. He's got banana skins where I look at Littler's quarter, I just can't see anyone that can possibly beat him. That's why my confidence is so high in Littler. But they'll probably play in the semi-finals, but I would fancy Littler to beat him in the semi-final. And then Neiman's going to progress from the other half. It's all very straightforward.
Simple. Got the first two home.
Simple, yeah, that, yeah.
Right, let's see if we've got the first five home in the golf. Then give us a round up of the Mauritius Open then, Steve. Who are you with? Five players?
Yes, see if I can remember them. This is a huge test to my hangover. Casey Jarvis. Christo Lamprecht. Kieran Vincent. Martin Voorster. Herman Loopsa.
That pause at the end was because she's forgotten the last one.
No, they're all in there.
Steve, well done, well Merry done. Christmas to you.
Yeah, thanks for my present. Getting you one. I really do. But I'll resolve that. There's still a little bit of time.
This time there? You can redeem yourself. It's been an absolute pleasure, as ever, mate. It's nice to see you in the flesh.
Yeah.
Mauritius Open, the darts. Loads coming up here on the Racing Post YouTube channel as well. Do, of course, remember to like, comment and subscribe. Let us know below maybe what you would have got me for Christmas, because Steve obviously didn't have any ideas. Do remember to enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.